Parental advisory, explicit content. The following songs you're about to hear contain cursing and may contain references to violence, sexual situations, or substance abuse. Whammy Radio is not responsible for the content featured in this digital recording. Portions of this podcast have been pre-recorded. The reproduction or redistribution, in part or in whole, of this digital recording is strictly prohibited.
Robin! Emergency! Get up here now!
Report! What's the problem?
The problem is it's showtime, and you're not in your seat. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the scariest night of your lives.
Just start the movie.
Whammy Radio.
Ain't nothing changed, we on tonight, nigga. Hey, DJ Lee, what it is? How Japan feeling? Let's get it.
I'm showing all the models I've been wearing. I'm showing all color of the year. I'm going it all, photo I thought it out, just to show it out.
They asking me what's my problem, I do what the real. Fly nigga from Harlem, sold drugs, bust steel, bust that champagne, poured out to my cup spill. Most niggas talking shit, them broke niggas never touch the mill. I touched M and crushed gems, fucked up a couple mils. My niggas is cool, they tuck still for a fucking thrill. New foreign every summer, new joints every number. My jewels, heavy thunder, no dog, don't never run up. I'm way out, open out, getting spaced out, smoke sour. Music level, my smoke is louder. Turn it down. Long flight, I need a perk. Watch white like a key of work. Bad bitch drove me berserk. Nasty.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Throwing money in the air. I'm showing all the models
everywhere.
I'm showing all the color of the year. I'm got it all, photo I got it all, just to show it all.
Anything less is uncivilized. Dip set till I die, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm showing all the models that it wears. I'm showing all the color of the year. I got it all, photo I got it all, just to show it all. I'm running, I'm getting naked. Make it up with these bottles, baby.
It's the Comic Con cast edition of the only podcast in the World Wide Web with the balls to break down the walls
from July 24th to the 27th, the San Diego Convention Center, located in San Diego, California, will be hosting the Comic-Con International, an annual event where comic creators, sci-fi and fantasy authors, film and television producers and writers, and animators from all over the world will come together to bring you an extraordinary interactive and academic experience. If you're a fan of the comics, movies, science fiction, anime, and cartoons, if your goal is to enter the world of art and animation, this podcast is just for you. I'm your host, The Whammy Giveaway. I'm delighted to have with me on my show two very incredible people who will be at the SD convention, fan art, animator, and video gamer Andrew Dickman, along with fellow fan artist Diane Modena. You might know them better under their DeviantArt handles as AWD, aka Odd and Lovely Dagger. Welcome to the show, folks.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Please make sure to speak louder. I barely got you on that.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, it's okay. What is the atmosphere going to be like at Comic-Con? For those who might be going for the first time, what can they expect over there?
Lots of people.
And booth babes.
Booth babes?
Oh, yeah, well, the thing is, I'm mostly used to the exhibitor floors, and those are pretty packed. There's a lot of shuffling when you're walking around because you're always going to be behind someone. There's always going to be someone behind you. And luckily this year, we're going to be behind a booth, so we may not have to deal with that
so we'll
as
be
much.
Safe.
Yeah,
we'll be bombarded by people.
Yeah. This is like the first year in 2 years that I've gone. Last time I went was with you.
Yeah, we
were just like walking around and it was freaking busy. But it's grown like that for the past 10 years now. I remember going when I was like a teenager and it was just like a regular little convention around 50,000 people at least, but now it's like grown to what, millions or something. I honestly have no idea what the numbers are, but as far as I'm concerned, I only know to avoid Hall H and Ballroom B, and those places are for people who just like sit outside 2 days beforehand to wait for like a Twilight panel or something.
Is it like a purgatory for Comic-Con?
What, the Hall H?
Yeah.
Well, the H stands for hell, probably, and the B stands for...
Beware.
Beware.
The letter H!
Capital H!
So, yeah, the panels are, like, the most difficult things to experience, at least if you're, like... If you want a full experience of Comic-Con, just avoid panels.
The thing that trips me out the most is the cosplay. Fans dressing up as their favorite characters from anime, manga, cartoons, comics, and video games. Diane, you wanted to do cosplay at one point. Were you able to achieve that dream?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, actually, my first Comic-Con with Andrew was basically a female Bowser. And it was crowded, and I had a big shell with, like, huge spikes on it, and I felt so bad every time I had to back up, move somewhere else. But it was fun. I enjoyed it.
And she got, like, stopped by, I guess there was, like, a booth of some sort of Japanese, what was it? Like, was it, like, a Japanese TV show or something?
Oh, that
was
Niku Niku
TV? Is that what it
I
was?
So.
Yeah, they stopped her, and they interviewed her for a little bit, and I thought that was pretty cool.
It's
like a lot of, some people saw you on a stream, like, talking it up. It was pretty cool.
That was great.
Was the shell that heavy when you were wearing it?
It wasn't really much heavy. It was like, it's basically, I feel bigger because it's really a tight squeeze around the con.
It was like a plush thing. It was like a backpack plush or something.
Yeah, it was like a Mario shell with like spikes on it. So.
Yeah, you basically like pasted those on.
Yeah.
And you got like a cosplay plan for this year.
This year I'm going to be a female shy girl, you could say. Yeah, shy girl.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We wear a mask.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the mask.
We got the mask, and it looks freaking awesome. Oh, gosh, I can't remember the name of the guy who made it. We asked someone on DeviantArt, I guess was known for cosplay stuff, and we just, on a whim, asked him if he would do it. He said, yeah, sure, why not? And we didn't hear from him for a while, so we were kind of, and it was getting closer to the convention, and it was like, hey, dude, is everything okay? We were wondering if you got this mask. And he said, oh, yeah, I have it done. I'm going to mail it off to you.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, wow, this is amazing. And we got it in the mail, and it looks fantastic. And,
yeah, it's great.
He's a guy named Sky Bullet on DeviantArt, and he's an amazing talent.
one minute he's off the face of the earth, and the next he comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Over the years, Comic-Con has featured thousands and thousands of guests. This year, Comic-Con will feature such names as Neil Adams, Mark Brooks, Kevin Eastman, Jim Lee, Mike Mignola, Don Rosa. But it doesn't stop with just cartoonists, storyboard artists, and the like. Last year, Comic-Con had the cast and crew of Marvel's Thor enlightening Stan Lee's True Believers of the Dark World. Which special guests are you looking forward to meeting over there at Comic-Con?
Well, it's kind of funny because, like, ever since comic books went into movies, like, Marvel did the whole boom, and basically it turned Comic-Con into, like, I would say Hollywood-Con, because,
Holly-Con.
Holly-Con. But it's like there have been panels for TV shows that I don't even think are connected to comics or anything. And Burn Notice got a panel. And while I really love that show, I was thinking to myself, like, I'm at a panel that is not really about anything related to comics. It's just basically, let's have Bruce Campbell in this panel talking to people and calling them names and stuff. And it's just weird. It just grew into that. And now it's like, I feel like it's gotten so big, that's why there's so many damn people there, is because they just want to go around and gawk at celebrities. And that is really kind of frustrating for the artists, because it's like, artists came there for the exposure for them to, you know, make comics and art and stuff like that. And we're kind of like overshadowed.
Pushed
to the side. I feel bad for the people at Artist Alley, because I always hear about that. Like, they always say, like, oh, you know, it wasn't as good as last year. Not many people have noticed us. But at the same time, it's like, that's kind of cool that you get to see Weird Al walking around with everyone. And it just feel like it's gotten too big. And maybe there is, at some point, there's probably going to be like some sort of disconnect from it. Maybe like they're probably going to make like separate comic cons, or they're just going to try to expand the convention center and make it even bigger.
They mostly did. They go to hotels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now they're in hotels. Yeah. They have like, there's so many events going on, and like even the stores across the street.
Yeah, last year Nintendo was in the hotel.
Yeah,
it was Nintendo, not even in the convention.
Yeah, Nintendo took over like an entire hotel.
Cool story, bro.
But I digress. It's like, I think it's pretty cool, but at the same time, it's like, I really want to go see artists that I really like. I like, there's a couple people that I know are going. I know Markiplier's going to be there, probably. I'm not sure his brother is going to be there.
Girl.
Yeah. His brother Tom's going to be there. He's the guy who made Two Kinds. For the most part, it's like, I haven't really been checking up on it. I know that a lot of people are going. I'd love to bump into them. I would love to go around Artist Alley and just meet up with folks and to say hi and everything. I'm not really much of a celebrity chaser, but if I see them, that's great. Like, Bruce Campbell was walking beside us that one time.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, hey, great costume. And
I
was like,
I like you. You feel good.
I don't even think you knew at the time.
I was turned around. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
He went like this. With the little gun point.
Oh, yeah. The gun point's like, yeah. Yay, great costume. Yeah.
I've never been to a convention ever. I mean, like, a couple years ago, I've always wanted to try, but I feel so nervous because, like you said, it's all HollyCon. If I went there right now, I'd be sweating faster than Ranma switching genders getting splashed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It is pretty insane. I mean, parking and everything is such a big to-do. And now it's like, as soon as they announce tickets are available, they're gone in like a day.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly got lucky because I work as a professional and industry guests get in for free, basically. So I guess I kind of lucked out. Even this booth is my friend's booth. They just dropped it on me one day and said, like, oh, we can't make it. We're going to be in Tennessee. So it's yours now. And I was thinking, like, oh, that's awesome. So wow. I got to rush in 3 months to do all these prints and everything and get ready for this. So, yeah, it's funny how things like just kind of drop on you. But I'm really excited and at the same time nervous because I've never really had a booth before. So I don't know what to expect. I don't even know if anything's going to happen. But at the same time, it's like it's a great experience. And I like doing it because I get to see other artists and stuff. And who knows? Maybe I will get a Comic-Con exclusive Transformers Creo box, which is the only thing that I know is going to be there.
You seem ready about it.
I'm just going to like leave the booth and say, like, okay, this is all I'm going to do now. I'm going to wait in 5 hours in a line for this thing.
It's like Disneyland, but indoors.
Right.
Crowded.
Yeah, yeah.
Comic-Con has been around since the 1970s, when it began as a mini showcase that drew 100 attendees. Today, right. It's a big pop cultural event with people from all over the world gather in San Diego to check out what's new in the world of animation, graphic novels, comic books, anime and manga, fantasy, and science fiction. How has Comic-Con helped shape not just the cartoons we watch or comic books we read, but to establish workshops, film festivals, discussion centers, and other activities which help to inspire up-and-coming artists and fans of a particular series, yourselves included?
There's some sort of fascination in that. It's people want to know more about the things that they like. When it comes to panels and stuff like that, it's not so much, you know, going up there and asking a question that you want to have answered. It's more like you kind of want to know what these people are all about. You know, I know personally, I've always wanted to meet the artists that I looked up to because they're a person just like me. And this is something that I would love to do. In a sense, it's kind of like an insider's or an outsider's look to the inside almost. And also, it's like for a lot of companies, it's like it's self-promotion. You know, if people are really excited about this stuff, they'll let you know about it. It's kind of like, you know, everything like E3 and stuff like that. It's like they make special announcements. I mean, comics have their announcements. Like, I guess recently there has been some to do about Thor being a woman or something, which I
approve.
I approve as well. But I don't understand the whole problem with it, because stuff like this has happened constantly. But there's really, it's that fascination of like, why is this happening? There's got to be some explanation to it. Well, that gets people interested and they go for it. You know, there's that curiosity factor. I don't want to see Transformers 4, but I know a ton of people are curious about what the hell this train wreck is. And they'll go and watch it. And the Ninja Turtles movie as well. It's like, you know.
I don't know if I like that new Ninja Turtles movie. They changed it to make it look like aliens. And I think it's like, I don't know. They remind me of geckos.
We don't know.
Are you sure it doesn't look like something else?
They have the shells.
Yeah. No, those lips get me. I seriously, every time like I see them, it's like the lips don't. They're like pasted on.
I figured it out. Those Ninja Turtles remind me of Koopas injected with steroids. Koopas with steroids. Have you seen the Super Mario Brothers Super Show? There was an episode that featured a Super Troopa. It was basically a large Koopa with muscles. This was before they created the Sledge Brothers.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm definitely referencing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Honestly, it's like I'm curious about it, but at the same time, it's like I really don't know if I want to be disappointed in another 80s cartoon that I've loved and seeing it like done this way. But, you know, whatever. See, people are curious.
I'm curious. I want to see it, but I don't want to pay for it.
But that's what it's like for Comic-Con. It's like people are curious. They want to know what's new, and they love seeing the artists and celebrities that are a part of it. And just, I guess it like makes them feel like they're a part of it as well, because honestly they are, they're the audience. I'm thankful for the audience that I have, because if I didn't have an audience, I wouldn't be doing this stuff. So yeah, it's like, it's a big to do.
You two will be at Artist Alley in booth 1632 as e-heroes, selling posters, art, pins, sketchbooks. Let's talk a little bit about your art. When I look at your art, I see edginess, swag, rebelliousness, attitude. How would you describe your art style?
Rebelliousness?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm honestly rebelling against anything, but
it reminds
but
me.
I don't know. It's like, I just really, I have this passion and I just draw the things that I love. I mean, I've been having ideas in my head ever since I was like 5 years old, and I've kept them and I wanted to do something with them. And I'm like always in the midst of pitching something to a studio or talking about doing a comic or something. And there's just like not enough time to do everything. But I also like to talk about the things that I'm really passionate about, like the games and cartoons and movies and stuff like that. That is just, I want to talk more about them. You know, I have that interest and I want to help expand it. So that's why it's like I'm always talking about Mega Man and Sonic and whatever, and whatever things come to mind that I really am passionate about. It's like a part of me. And I also want to be a part of that with my own stuff. It's just sometimes there's not enough time in the day, because I got like a job and I'm doing these videos and then I got some other projects I got to do. it's like, yeah, there's not enough time in the day, but still, it's like, I just love drawing the things that I love.
And yeah, it's really different for me because I hardly draw fan arts, just even for enjoyment. So Comic-Con really pushed me a little bit out of my comfort zone. I don't want to butcher it. It's just one of those mentalities, like, you really adore those things that you like, especially, like, I like Sailor Moon and Ninja Turtles, and I don't want to, like, screw it up when I draw it. So hopefully they'll like my style, you know, incorporated.
Yeah, the stuff that she's come up with for our booth is fantastic, and if you come by and you want a print of something, definitely pick one up. And we also have a sketchbook of our stuff, just doodles that we've made.
Yeah.
Like, but as far as, like, my art goes, it's like, I just draw what I like. You know? Mm-hmm. It, whatever comes to my mind, I'll just, like, jot it down and see what happens.
Gosh, you know? I know. It's the same with me when I was a little kid. I just remember, I didn't know what tracing paper was. I remember my dad giving me just a blank paper and then spreading oil on it so it could be see-through. And then I would draw over the card covers of my books I have.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
That's how it started.
Reminds me of lingerie.
Cool story, bro.
So you're getting the underwear and you're drawing everything over that.
For your raw stuff here.
Yeah. Nope. No pun intended, folks.
It's like paper dolls.
Barbies. But
yeah. We're actually, honestly, we're not in Artist Alley. We're actually in, like,
the small press,
which really shocked me because, like, my friends, I think for the longest time, they've always been in small press. These are my friends, West Havenbrook, by the way, which you should look up because they make amazing videos. But our booth is probably going to be a little bit bigger than most of Artist Alley, which is really nice. Again, I hope we can fill that space. With the stuff that we have, I mean, it'll be nice to just, like, sit back and relax, and hopefully people will come by and pick our stuff up.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Who were some of your influences growing up?
Do you want to?
Oh, you go first.
Oh, okay. Well, my biggest influences growing up was, like, I've always really been a fan of, like, Disney stuff. I grew up as a Disney kid. My dad worked at the Disneyland Hotel, and so of course we got, like, a lot of stuff. Like, the Disney Channel at the time used to be for employees. And Disney Afternoon was a big thing for me. I loved DuckTales, Chip and Dale, Darkwing Duck. Garfield was a big cartoon that I really enjoyed. Calvin and Hobbes. It's a mishmash. I have so many damn interests and influences that it's really hard to keep up with. Because I'm a person that really just does not want to stay with one singular idea. I love to pick at different things, like, I love this from this video game, and I love this from this cartoon, or this movie, or this and this and this. And it's just like, all of that stuff brought together is what I am. So all of that influence just kind of, like, melded me into what I am today. It's just kind of like, well, let me try this and let me try that. You know, I've met so many different artists over the years. Doug Tenapple, who's a fantastic guy, and he's a big influence to me. Fred Perry is a big influence to me. He's made Gold Digger comics. There are countless other artists that I, off the top of my head, I probably would not be able to name all at once. I just have to say, like, everyone honestly kind of influences me in some way, because if it's something that interests me, I'll pick it up and I'll look through it and I'll say, like, oh, this is really cool. I really dig this. And I like to put little nods in my own stuff to those artists and the things that I like. So, you know, it's just kind of, like, melded into that.
Wow. You had a lot of exposures than I did.
Yeah.
I just remember I had this one picture of me as a little kid with a bowl cut, holding this giant plushy Ninja Turtle with a pink t-shirt that said Ninja Turtle. Like, I remember that. I was so into Sonic comics. Like,
yeah.
I remember in elementary school, I would bring it and try to show it off. You know, like how you have, like, this flashy folder
right. Put
on the desk? I would just put my comics there and be like, yeah, I have Sonic comics. I can draw them.
It's like, man, I got Sonic comics.
Yeah, especially that. And then I went to Sailor Moon because they had those glitter stickers, you know, those the shiny ones. And I would do tradings with those in class.
Yeah,
and,
like, trading card.
Yeah, stickers. And then Pokemon came over. Well, they didn't have trading cards back then for me. They had, I think KFC had these little tiny trading cards with, like, generic art of the Pokemons. Mm-hmm. And we would trade those until our principal said, you know, that's enough. Gotta ban that. Yeah.
So it's you. It's like it's also a bunch of different stuff that's kind of gotten you to what it is that you draw.
Yeah.
And you really like pin-up-y stuff too. So it's like we're just like we can't really pinpoint our inspirations.
Our childhood.
Yeah. Well, basically, together it's like our childhood is what made us.
Yeah.
What we are. So
it's just funny because okay, your childhood Christmas movie is like
The Grinch. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Not the live action one. The actual cartoon one.
The live action is good too for me. But I like the original as well.
Yeah,
mine was Jingle All the Way with Arnold.
Oh, Care Bears Nutcracker Suit on my side.
I still can't get over that. Like when she moved in, I was like, okay, it's our first Christmas together. You are going to watch a ton of great Christmas movies.
And all I could think of was Turbo Man. Like, that's the only Christmas icon I know. He's my Santa.
Oh, you poor girl.
At what point in your life were, when you were growing up, and whether you saw something like a character from comic book, a cartoon, or video game, and a light bulb just went off in your head that sent you the message, that's it, right there. I want to be an artist. What inspired you to finally turn to art and animation full time?
For me, the light bulb started when let me set it up. My dad worked at the Disneyland Hotel, and when I was 10, or around 10, I believe, the movie Aladdin came out. We saw a special screening of that at the hotel, and my dad says, like, oh, hey, well, one of the artists is coming down for a special panel or something at the hotel. Would you like to go see it? And I was like, yeah, sure. I was like, I don't know who this is. Is this, like, the voice actor or something? And when I was there, it was like, this was Eric Goldberg. This is the guy who animated the genie, one of my favorite characters of that movie. And I was just listening to him talk about how he animated on this movie. I saw this, it's like he was drawing on the screen, and then he was showing us animations, like rough pencil tests of genie animations. And I was looking at that, and I was like going, holy crap, I can't believe there's a job for this. You can actually like go and apply to be an artist and make movies and cartoons. This is amazing. It blew my mind because in school, when they ask you like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's always three options. It's either a fireman, an astronaut, or the president. And those were like the only three options.
I wouldn't have picked any of them.
I honestly like whatever that would come up. It's like it happened like three times. And I swear, it's like, I must have picked, like, one of each. So, but when I found out that there was, like, a job for animation, I was like, I really want to pursue this. This is amazing. How do I get into stuff like this? And that's when, like, you know, my dad stepped in and he started to, like, find me, like, after school stuff about art programs and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to do this. So I got more and more interested in it, and from then on it just became my pursuit. I want to be part of the cartoons somehow. If I make them, if I'm a part of them, if I can make some sort of animation, I just want to do that. And that's really how it all started.
Wow. My dad was a chef in an Italian restaurant, so like every time he came home he would draw me a flower and on a napkin. And I would tell him, like, you know, can you draw it? And he would draw quickly, but I would tell him, wait, can I see you draw it? So I would see him, like, make lines and make the petals, and I was completely amazed about it. Sorry, I'm getting really emotional, but, like, it's a really touching thing. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like you're envious, you're jealous, and you want to do it too.
Right.
And that gave me the drive to draw too. Like, I wanted to show it off. I wanted to let people know that this is coming out of my hands. I'm making lines and making images.
And honestly, that's a good way to go about it. It's like, it's not even egotistical. It's like trying to prove your worth in a way that it's like, I can draw too. And that actually helps better you as an artist and a person because it's like, yeah, I can do this. I have that drive now.
Yeah.
You know? So it's really good. It's cool that you went through that because like I went through the same thing. It's like, I saw all these artists making comics and stuff, and I was like, God, I want to do this.
Yeah.
I really want to do this, but I don't know how, because I'm going to be a fireman or an astronaut or a president when I grow up.
My choices, if I had to choose, my choices were, in order, a priest, a game show host, or a rap artist. Frankly, I chose none of them, and I'm doing podcasting, video games, and commissioning.
Wow.
I kind of like that's, the priest
that's more.
One.
That's better options than what I got. Yeah.
I'll say priest when I'm like 60 years old, when I've lived my life and I've done all I needed to do.
Yeah.
That's still an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done with this art thing. I'm going into priesthood. That's easy. Yeah.
I still need to do my raps, man. I need to catch up on writing my own freestyles, because I used to do raps like around my senior year back in 2001. And yeah. I used to write raps based on different rappers, from Juvenile, Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, Notorious B.I.G., Will Smith, Bone Thugs and Harmony. I was still brand new to it. I didn't know how everything went, but all I knew was that their lyricism was really good, how they perfected the craft and their delivery, their tones. It just really opened my mind, and I wanted to bring that rap. You've done work for various web shows, The Nostalgia Chick, Animania, Fearless in the Movies, but you've also done some storyboard artwork for Teen Titans Go, and you're currently working for Nickelodeon right now. What was it like storyboarding for Teen Titans Go? Did you get a chance to meet with any of the creators, the voice actors?
Yeah, I mean, actually, some of them came up to greet us every once in a while. I can't remember his name, but he voices Cyborg.
Oh, yeah.
He was amazing. He would come up and just say hi to every one of us. And I was like, I always feel bad because, like, I'm terrible at remembering names. It usually takes me, like, 5 months before I can remember everyone on my crew's name.
I want to guess. I think it's Zachary Taylor. I think that's his name.
That doesn't sound familiar. It's like, I almost want to look it up, but
I'll
yeah.
I'll look it up for you. I'll look it up. Just keep
going. Yeah, okay, cool. Honestly, when you mentioned that I work on Teen Titans Go, it's like, yeah, that was not my first job. I actually started 10 years ago working at Warner Brothers, actually, on Lunatics.
Wow.
And that was my first job. It was both intimidating and awesome at the same time because, for one, when Lunatics was announced, no one liked it. Everyone was so up in arms about it, and they were ready to, like, riot on the street about it. And here I am applying for a job. I actually came into the studio to pick up my portfolio because I thought it was rejected. And then the front desk lady says, like, hey, you know what? Why don't I call down the producer and I'll see if he has, like, a position. Came down and looked at my portfolio and said, like, hey, why don't you come and work as a character designer? I was like, oh, you serious? Yes, I would love to do that. And right then, I thought I was being punked because it was April 1st.
Cool story, bro.
It was actually April 1st when that happened. But yeah, I got the job like right then and there. And I worked on like the first season of Lunatics. And a year later, I worked on a little bit of season 2. I actually boarded the intro to the second season. That was really awesome. So from then on, I was doing like little bits and pieces of freelance and worked on different shows. Like, I've probably gone to like every studio. I worked at Nickelodeon on my own short. Then I did some other miscellaneous work. I worked at Moon Scoop. I worked at Mike Young. Actually, those are the same studio. I don't know what I'm talking about here. I worked at Jim Henson Studios.
Wow.
And that was really fun. I came back to Warner Brothers to work on Teen Titans Go, and such amazing people working on that show right now. And it's so funny. Like, I feel like every show that I've worked on, before they watch it, people will hate the show. The show that I'm on right now, Breadwinners, people don't like, there are people who will go right up to me and say, like, oh, you work on that show? That show sucks. And then I'm like, okay, I'm having fun working on this show, so I don't know what's your problem. But at the same time, it's like tons of kids love this show. I'm always hearing about people praising the show and how lovely, how cartoony it is. And I'm working on this show saying, like, wow, this really is a very cartoony show. And I'm not trying to, like, inflate my own ego here. It's just, no, seriously, it's like, I've only been on this show for about 3 months now. The work that the people have done on this is truly amazing. And it's stuff that I've never really seen done before. So it's like, I'm really more just giving praise to them because, like, I've just started. And thankfully, they like my work and I've gotten a new crew. And everyone that I've met so far in animation has been so wonderful and supportive, and just amazing people and talented artists. It's like, it doesn't matter what you do. You got to love what you do, and there will be an audience for it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like all the shows that I worked on have been like wonderful experiences, and I love each and every person that's worked on it. So, yeah.
The name is really Cary Payton. I got the first
one. Yeah, yeah, that's right, right.
Yeah, all I just have to do is put Gary Payton in my head, which I've never seen before. By the way, Gary Payton, he's an NBA player.
No, it says here Larry White.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. what would you say was your most memorable moment ever at Comic-Con?
Oh, gosh. My most memorable moment is the first time I ever met Dougton Apple, because I was honestly, I grew up with this guy's work ever since Earthworm Jim, and he's been like one of the biggest influences on my own work. And there was like a time where I guess he was going through a tough time, and I emailed him like a bunch of my own ideas, just like, hey, why don't you put this in your game? This would be awesome. And looking back, it's like, that's got to be annoying for someone who's working in, you know, in any sort of field, because it's like, oh, yeah, that's great. I'm really glad that you're interested in my work, but, you know, I can't do this. And I got like a really nasty email back from him because like I kept pestering him. I was just like, you know, for a while I was really upset, but then I started to think like, okay, maybe I was being a little too annoying about this. And for the longest time, it's like I didn't email him. I didn't even approach him. And I just enjoyed his work from afar, because he'd been doing like graphic novels and stuff like that. And then in like college, I was at Comic-Con and he had his own booth. And my teacher, because we went as a group in college, and my teacher was like, oh, hey, this is Dr. Apple. And I froze. I seriously froze, and I like looked at him and was like, what should I do? Should I like approach him? Should I say, yeah. I
was apologize?
Like, yeah. So I went up to him and I told him, I was like, Doug, hey, I've been a fan of your work for the longest time. I am that kid that sent you tons of emails with my work, and I'm really sorry. And he says like, oh, hey, that's no big deal. Look, and he explained to me, it's like, it was a tough time and everything. It's like, he basically says, like, you know what? Everything that you gave me was freaking awesome. I'm really sorry that I couldn't use it. But yeah, it was really amazing. And that was like the biggest compliment I have ever gotten. And I was just shaking the entire time. So, you know, it's just one of those experiences that was like really amazing to me. So I'm really happy that that happened. And that, you know, a bad situation turned into a good situation in the end. So it's like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like you have to understand, like, these situations happen and you learn from them and move on. And now I talk to Doug on almost a regular basis. So
yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
The first Comic-Con, you introduced me to Doug, and he was like, oh, he's like, oh, Andrew Dickman.
Yeah. He was like, he shook my hand. He was like acting all buddy-buddy. Like, yeah. And you were like, oh, yeah, you know this guy.
I know. And I was a fangirl. I was like, oh. And he said, here, you know, have a free pen.
Yeah.
And then I remember in Facebook, you were friends with him. I'm like, oh, okay. And then randomly, he's just added me as his friend. I'm like, oh, I'm friends with him in Facebook.
Yeah.
I feel the same way whenever I favorite a fan artist, a rapper, or a radio personality, or anybody who I like. I turn into a little fan. I was like, I got this guy, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, I always think of it, it's like, these are people, you know, they're just people, and they all have like the same problems, the same thing, experiences as you do. And you just can be as nice as you can be, you know, and honestly, the things work out in the end. I just try to look at people. I try to look at every artist as a person, just like me. You know, they want to do great things, and they can. So I try to encourage that and just like say, like, you know, I've been through the same thing. So just be natural, be yourself, and an audience will follow. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I'll take that advice to heart. I mean, I'm still going through that level right now, because usually when I talk to fan artists, I'm like, I want to commission you for this. I want to commission you for that. I got this big gallery coming up. But sometimes you have to remember that they are people too. They have their own lives. They have their own issues. You got to be able to respect what they're going through.
Right.
Got some more questions for you guys. Mind sticking around for a little while longer?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Comic-Con Cast continues on the second half of Whammy Radio.
Whammy Radio.
Is all right when your DJ plays the K. You will listen to what the kid has to say, 'cause you know it's too damn straight. Can't wait, gotta get on down before it's too late. And even if so, it would be, my friend, just tell him to play it again. See, once it starts to beat your eardrum, it goes way up to your head, bounces down to your belly and back. If you hunger, you be fed. It's all up to the individual. This reaction is typical.
talking about the real deal. I'ma make you feel. Yo, DJ, spin that wheel. Spin that wheel. Spin that wheel. I'ma make you feel. Yo, DJ.
I'm here to promote the music.
Keep me. DJ, put it back on. 말하네 지켜보기로 모아쓰요니 기세기 사에 대중 놀이 너무 이구가 혹시 이 날라 하나의 때 아래를 떠구라 고리 나의 고가 뮤직 달려진 나의 대화 전매가 자리감에 가있어리 들으면 내 하나의 노래를 보시고 I'm cheating for you boy 힘이 노래 I'm cheating for you baby
나를 봐봐 I'm genie for your wish
그새니 나를 봐 그새니 나를 봐 Whammy Radio continues.